My name is Thea McFaun, and I'm the founder and co-director of the Capital Region Institute for Human Rights. I think of us as an education-focused organization with a goal of helping young people to amplify and know how to amplify their voice when it comes to issues that are important to them. And so in particular, issues around civic engagement, social justice, human rights, which are all sort of interrelated, and helping them by giving them tools and opportunity to really practice developing those skills and then to actually go out into the world and develop projects and to address and tackle issues that they feel are the ones that our society needs to do more to work towards solving.
So your fellow leader, Kelly Weatherby, gave us the history of how you both collaborated on social justice research projects, and then you went to the Holocaust Museum, right? Why do you feel this is needed?
So you're absolutely right. A lot of this began for me when I started to try to figure out ways to teach the Holocaust. And so for me, it was very important to make sure that, one, I taught it in a way that was accurate, and I also want to figure out how do I help students see the relevance of that history today, and knowing that students are so far removed from that actual watershed moment in our history, in our shared history, but how do I help them understand human rights abuses, contemporary genocide, and the importance and the need to reach out and to provide aid to others, to people beyond our borders often. And so when I learned about the Belfer Scholarship and the fellowship that I later completed through the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, what I wrote about was wanting to learn more about how can I essentially give my students the opportunity to take action today around human rights abuses. And so I wrote that if I was selected, that my work would be to engage students in teaching other students about human rights. And so this work that we do here at the Capital Region really is an extension of that initial idea probably 6 years ago of how would that look.
So do you still believe that the best way to get students engaged in social issues is to be drawn in by other students?
I do think in many ways that while there definitely is a role for educators and adults, because we do have oftentimes access to resources and to power, and we know of organizations or communities and programs where students can do this type of work, that once we give them those resources, that we allow them to really decide, well, what is the work that needs to be done, and how best can they go about making the changes that they feel are necessary, versus having adults say, well, here's what I think is a problem, and here are two ways that I think you should go about addressing it. And I think for young people, it's important that they feel, A, their voices matter, and that, B, that they are empowered to do this work, to explore these difficult questions, and to try and consider what they can do now to support their communities or to support people who they either know personally that are struggling with some sort of injustice, whether it's being mistreated in school or having a policy in school that you feel doesn't fully meet the needs of a particular population of students, or if there is a policy in your school that you feel leads to disproportionality, perhaps in suspension rates or in discipline. And so it's important that when students see that there is an issue, that they also recognize that they have power to address that issue. And so for us, as adults in our program, our goal is really to just get out of their way. Like, our focus is to really say, well, what can we do to, one, give them the space to talk about these issues, to, two, provide them with tools and resources and access to mentors, whether they are professionals in these fields or they are activists or other teachers or community members who have a deep knowledge in these topics that they can share, and so that students are then able to work together to think about, well, what can we do and how are we going to do it? What does that organizing piece look like?
We must be so proud of the way the past 3 days unfolded with mentorship and then peer-to-peer interaction, you know, and interns from colleges who had done this institute coming back to also be leaders. So you kind of had layers of leadership and mentorship here. So two last questions. What are your future goals, and what is your vision for how this will grow? We'll start with that one.
In terms of goals, wow. You know, when we started this program 5 years ago, Kelly and I and Bill thought if we had 20 students sign up, that would be a win, right? 20 students, and, you know, that would be the best thing that could possibly happen. And even that year, we had over 50. And so for us, for our fifth anniversary, to be at this 90-plus student mark isn't something that we ever predicted. We feel that it's a good indicator that, you know, we're using student feedback to grow our program, to improve it. We're taking steps, as you mentioned, to put in place multiple levels of just mentorship that is peer-to-peer. As you said, all of our interns are former participants. Many of them are now college sophomores and juniors, and so they're able to bring back that wisdom and share it with our younger participants. And so I think in terms of goals, we just really want to make sure that we're able to meet the needs of the students who come to us. Like, I know one area that we're hoping to incorporate is disability rights, that we have not fully tackled that, and that's an area where we know we need to grow and to really set goals around for next year. We want to continue to make sure that we provide both a balance of topics. Students are often interested in things that are happening right here in this country, but I know it's also as important that we talk about international issues, because we do live in this sort of global world where what's happening in one country impacts us. And I think we do have a responsibility to people beyond our borders, and I want young people to know about what are some things that are happening internationally that they too should be aware of, and that those issues matter as well. So I think for us it's to continue to be informed, provide information on these topics and issues as they continue to unfold, and to ourselves build our partnership so that we can bring in speakers and partner with other organizations, that we can reach more students and make sure we can provide a quality program that hopefully continues to just grow over the years, and that we're able to keep pace with the needs of the students who wish to attend. Every year we do try to help students see a connection between the work that we're doing over the 3 days and historical events. And so sometimes it's sort of like in memoriam, like recognizing that a number of years ago this event happened, and where are we now today, and what progress have we made, and what's been done, and how have we, either as a country or as a global community, worked to improve in this area. And so to have Barbara Smith here talking about just her work in the 70s and 80s and in the 90s around the LGBTQIA rights movement, and giving us that perspective to think about where we started then and the progress that has been made, and yet there's still work to be done, and how even she is in many ways heartened to see the progress that's been made legally around marriage equality, but just to remember that that isn't the end, that there is still work to do in terms of supporting especially the most marginalized members of this larger community. And so thinking about intersectionality, which I thought was so helpful for students to consider, thinking about trans folk of color, and thinking about students in rural communities where there might not be access to sex ed that helps to affirm their identity and give them the tools that they need as well. And so I feel that the speakers that we bring in, we do try to help have them be able to help amplify that connection between what's going on historically and ways that we are recognizing moments like the Stonewall anniversary and the Declaration of Human Rights too. I'm just very appreciative. I feel like it's an honor to do this work. It is a privilege to do this work. And I don't mean those things as, you know, people will often say like, oh, I'm so fortunate to have this opportunity. But to be an educator today in this world and to get to work with young people, it is actually a privilege. And I think it is very heartening to be able to see all of these leaders, I'm not going to say young leaders because they are leaders, really finding their voice and having that confidence and that willingness to be brave, to show courage, and to say like, I know my experience, I know who I am, and I know that I have a right to be here, and I am also aware that there are other people who have had different experiences, and I want to partner with them too and support them in whatever that journey is that they are on. And so I do think it's great to hear all these lovely young people talk about their goals and the work that they're doing in their schools and what they plan to do in their communities around all of those issues, the great work around health classes and what students were hoping to bring back to their schools, and the cleanup that students were planning to do in Washington Park, and the work that around menstruation awareness, and just sort of again helping young women realize that this is part of biology and this is something that is absolutely natural, and that this is something our bodies are meant to do, and so not having that shame or fear. And of course our racial justice group talking about their efforts to work locally with their schools and local police departments to talk about implicit bias and what can we partner and how can we partner and work together to sort of reduce some of those negative interactions. So I think that all of the students in their work, you could really see this sense of deep ownership because they created these projects, they identified the need, and also this deep sense of commitment and faith that as a team, partnering with a larger group, that they could absolutely make these things real.
Well, thank you for all of the work you do, Thea.
Oh, my pleasure, and I'm so excited to be on your program, so thank you for having me, Megan.